But what really puzzles me is the stark contrast between verse 1 through 21 and verse 22 through 24. Because in the first 21 verses, we find Israel shouting and praising God. But in the very next verse, verse 22, all of a sudden, all the praises have ceased. And by the time we get to verse 24, their praise now have turned into grumbling and complaining. And you know, that sounds like a whole lot of church folk today. Because just as soon as things, Lord, don't go right, we begin to grumble and complain. The children of Israel, just as soon as the water ran out and things began to go wrong, their attitude all of a sudden began to change. Just as soon as it appeared that appropriate travel arrangement had not been made, they took their eyes off the Lord and began to grumble and complain. Just as soon as it seemed like there was some difficulty ahead, instead of praise, now they are grumbling and complaining. And so when the praise is over, what do you do? Well, this morning with your prayer, don't y'all go to sleep. I want to lift three things from the text and hope that we will learn what to do and what not to do when facing bitter water experiences. Well, the first thing we don't do is don't magnify the present problem. Let me say that again. Don't magnify your present problem. Note the text says 3 days in the wilderness of Shur, the people ran out of water, and when they found water, it was too bitter to drink. Now, the word Marah means bitter, and so perhaps the water was filled with bad tasting minerals that caused the water to turn bitter. But at least they had some water, even if it didn't taste good. Because despite the bad taste, at least it would have kept them from dying of thirst. Because when it comes to survival, a thirsty person will almost drink anything. Reminds me of a time when I was coming up as a little boy in Alexandria. During that time, I thought we had the best tasting water in the world. But when we would go out to some of the rural areas and play ball, many times the water there would have a bad taste, like it had rust in it. And sometimes the water would leave a bad taste in your mouth. But on a hot summer day, after playing baseball all day long in that hot sun, even some bad tasting water was better than no water at all. So in the text, verse 24 reveals that the children of Israel began to magnify their problem by grumbling and complaining against Moses because everything wasn't just right. They said, Moses, you in so many words, you brought us out here. Now, what shall we drink? But now, by grumbling and complaining, all they were doing was making their problem seem bigger than it really was. And likewise, my brothers and sisters, we too magnify our problems when we allow ourselves to wallow in self-pity, exaggerate our hardship, and allow fear to make us think that things are worse than they really are. We bring to mind one time some childhood friends of mine had gone fishing in a little boat out in the little pond, and they had no sooner paddled out into the water and somebody made, Lord, a wrong move and the boat overturned. Now, one of them in the boat couldn't swim. And just as soon as he hit the water, he began thrashing around in that water, hollering and hollering and asking somebody to save him. Lord, help me. But the rest of the fellas were standing up. And they were hollering to him, man, stand up.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
The house of the Lord will make a way. Glory, 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 glory. Well, get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Bless his holy name. Turn them, if you will, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Want to look afresh at this particular passage of scripture. Let us begin at verse 1. Recorded are these words. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, wisdom for winners. Wisdom for winners. Touch your neighbor if you're not afraid of them and say, neighbor. This message is for winners. Amen. This message is for, if you're not interested in being a winner, if you are not already a winner, looking to take it to another level, then you can go on and tip out right now while we go on through the rest of this, because this message is for winners. Amen. One of the things that you're going to note in this book of Proverbs, this book of wisdom, Solomon, the son of David, is talking about his experiential relationship as relates to the wisdom he had received from his father, how it had literally blessed and benefited his life because he understood the benefits of wisdom at an early age, how it caused him to make decisions that defined his life, his role and his work, and how he shares this wisdom with the believers so that they too can not only have a winning attitude, but a winning spirit and manifested life as well. Notice what he starts off saying, and he talks as if he's really talking to us one-on-one. He says, hear ye children. It's intimate, it's personal. He's talking like a father to someone who again has endeared him as a father, and he's talking to us as he was spoken to. He says, and attend to know, and he says, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. Now notice what he says, for I give you good doctrine. It's sound, it's solid,
It's stable. It's strong. It's good doctrine. It'll lead you. It'll guide you. It'll sustain you. It'll encourage you. It'll inspire you. It'll do everything necessary to put you on the right road and keep you there if you listen to me. He says, forsake ye not my law. Now notice what he says in verse 3. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Now these words impacted Solomon so much so that he remembers again. Verse 4 says, he taught me also. He understands what his father meant and what his father desired when he taught him as he was taught. Teaching him, and he knew and understood the truths. They were never ever so more real than when he applied them to life. He says, let thine heart retain my words. Now he's young. He's getting deposits in his spirit, nuggets his father is throwing out to him daily, or certainly as occasions arise. And he's getting all of this, and he's saying to his son Solomon, now keep this in your heart, because one day you're going to need it. Amen. Now, one thing about wisdom is when you get it and you understand it, you may not need it today, but whenever it is a need for it, it's already in place. You see, it's better to have it and don't need it than to need it and don't have it. So he tells him to hold on to it and keep his words. And what is connected with wisdom and understanding? Life. You keep my words and obey the commandments, you're going to live. Now notice what he goes on to say. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Wisdom is the byproduct of knowledge and truth presented and are performed to the point where one understands the principles, the foundation. But just understanding the principles and not knowing how to apply them is only half of it. You see, it's one thing to have instructions. It's another thing to know how to follow them. Whole lot of you get boxes and the instructions are in there. But you don't know how to follow them. That's only one part of it. The wisdom of the instruction tells you how to put together something or operate the thing. But knowing how to, understanding how to operate it is a whole nother level. So he tells him, get wisdom. Right behind that, he says, get understanding. Then he says, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now, he's making clear and making sure that Solomon does not, in any sense of the word, miss the opportunity to hear and understand, to gain knowledge and wisdom and retain it. He says, don't make small of the things that he's saying, because the weightier truth of the matter is, if you don't need them today, just keep on living and you're going to find out they're going to be needed. Look again. He says, verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the supreme thing. The principal thing here means the supreme thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In other words, the point is, not only do you get what I'm giving you, but beyond what I'm giving you, continue to seek wisdom throughout your life. Don't ever get to the point where you think you know it all. When you stop learning, you start dying. You start diminishing the reality of who you are without seeking the continual revelation of truth and knowledge and wisdom. You cease to continue to increase and evolve the way God wants you to. If you ever get to the point where you live to be 95 years old, you ought to still be learning something new every day. You are never, see, there is a saying that says you can't teach old dog new tricks. Well, that apply to dogs, that don't apply to men. I ain't no dog, and don't. I'm a man, so that means I have the ability, the God ability, to think, to reason, to understand. So every day of my life, in the image of God and the likeness of God, I should be able to continue to increase, to multiply, to develop, to consistently become all that God wants me to be, because in Him I live, I move, I have my being. Now, the very fact that you are a human being, notice the word doesn't say you're a human being. Now, some of us look like we've been, but but we are, as long as breath is in our bodies, are human beings. We are constantly evolving, constantly developing, constantly being defined and redefined, constantly reaching new levels, new stages, new operations. There are some things that you won't experience until you get to the next level. Every 10 years, every decade, there is another evolution of changes and inner changes that happen in the body, in the mind, in the psyche, in the spirit. A man that's of one age, then a decade later, experiences things that a decade later that he didn't experience the decade previous. Can I talk to some men in here? Well, you know, a couple decades ago, you know, it's fashionable now for us to have bald heads. But this ain't fashion, this is fact. This stuff fell out. I just went on shaved the rest of it down to make it look like I wouldn't be no clown with these puffs on the side of my head. But I'm trying to tell you, a few decades ago, I didn't have that problem. That stuff was thick and nice and dark. I had worlds of curls. Amen. I had it, you know, dyed, fried, and laid to the side sometime. I could do what I want with that. I know some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. It didn't look the color I wanted. I spray painted to make it the color I wanted it. But wisdom has taught me, if God don't keep it there, let it go. You might need to tell somebody sitting next to you, let it go. Let it go. Y'all know. There are just some things that aren't meant to last your whole life long. It gets you over by and through what God wanted and intended. And something you got to learn how to transition to the next level. There are some things God's not going to allow you to get to the next level with. There are some things that are designed to drop off. You know the shuttles that go up to the moon and so forth? And I don't know all of the technical terms, but I think you'll know what I'm saying, that there are rocket boosters on the side that help them to take off. But once they get off the ground and once they get positioned where they need to be and no longer need that powerful burst of energy to get them off the ground, those rocket boosters or whatever they call, they drop off the side of them. Now listen, they don't need those boosters to come back home, but they did need them to get up off the ground. And there are just some things that God has designed for you to understand are designed to take you to one place, but it may not be the same thing designed to take you for a lifetime. And so you've got to have wisdom enough and the understanding to know how to operate in that thing to get the full and maximum benefit out of this life that God has given to you. Now, one of the things that Solomon does is he reminds himself, rehearses the wisdom he has learned from his father. Now I want you to see something, because he's saying to the hearer, this is the thing that I've learned from my father that I want to share with you. Turn, if you will, to 1 Kings. And let's walk through some of this, because this is Youth Day, it's Promotion Day for many of our young people in Cherubim Choir and moving on to new and bigger things. Look, if you will, at the second chapter of 1 Kings, beginning at verse 1. Recorded are these words. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest, listen, prosper in some things, in all that thou doest. and conjunction with that, whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Now listen at this. Now his father, David, is giving to him wisdom that says to him, if you embrace this wisdom that I'm trying to give you, that you apply to your life daily and utilize it in your decisions, utilize it in your living, utilize it in your operations, that wisdom is going to be portable, which means that whatever you put your hands to, wherever you transition to, whatever place you go, that wisdom that's inbred, indwelt, instilled in you is going to be right there with you, which means you are not limited, because the wisdom that is gained and the operation of following the word, the law, the testimonies, the statutes, the commandments, all of that, again, is the wisdom of God, will guide you, it will guard you, and cause you to gain everything God has for you. Now, how many of you know sometime before God will give you what he's got for you, he's got to move you from where you are? See, some folk don't understand everything that God has for you is not in one place. Some people it is in one place, but other people it may be in a number of different places before God elevates them or promotes them to where he wants them to be. But everybody has a foundation, and this is what Solomon is dealing with as his father David is about to go off the scene, and he's charging him. He's saying, son, in essence, I've shared with you, I've shown you everything I can. I'm getting ready to go the way of all the earth. I may be king, but kings die also. And no, I know I'm getting ready to die. But I want you to be able to know how to be able to live and live successfully, and that comes through wisdom. Now notice here again what the word of God says. Verse 4, that the Lord may continue his what?
Word
which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. He's saying, I'm going to continue this lineage of allowing out of me one to represent me, that God has promised me that I will have the dominion on this throne forever. He's saying, if your children walk in this wisdom, I'll make sure that you will have someone on the throne, that someone would be represented out of that I have placed in you, representative of the way that David had walked before God. Now I want you to see something else. Turn, if you don't mind, to the third chapter, still in 1 Kings. Let's look at beginning at verse 3. Because Solomon has all of this that David has taught him, but his father told him to get some more wisdom, and then he told him to get some more understanding with that. So look at what the word says. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord. Can I tell you, that's a great way to start off. Because if you love the Lord, you want what the Lord has for you. If you love the Lord, you want the wisdom of the Lord. You want the word of the Lord. You want the will of the Lord. You want the way of the Lord. If you love the Lord, look at what the word says again. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. He had an example. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, listen now, ask what I shall give thee. Now, God is so pleased with Solomon's sacrifices, with Solomon's walking in the statutes of David, his father, that God is pleased with him. Solomon makes sacrifices, and then he goes to rest for the night. And after having sacrificed and now in a state of rest, God meets him in his dreams. And then God says, ask, listen at this, what I shall give thee. And when was the last time the Lord asked you to ask you, what do you want him to do for you? Listen to what the word says. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now notice the word says sit on. There's not a T in front of H that would make this throne. It says his throne, because God promised him that forever if David would walk before him in an honorable way. So notice Solomon is saying, has given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. As God, you have proven your word and honored your word by the way that my father has honored you in his life. Now, how many of us know David wasn't a perfect man? But God knew David's heart. And his heart was perfect toward God, even though his actions were not always that way. But as he grew and as he matured and as he constantly gained wisdom, he gained understanding and he recognized the way of the word versus the way of the world, and he chose God's part. Now listen to this again. Verse 7, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of my father, David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And he said, in essence, I do not know how to negotiate nor to operate the kingdom the way my father did, because I am so young. And listen to what he says. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen. Solomon recognizes that God has given him David's throne and his people. They are a great people who have been chosen by God. These are people that God has honored in his own selection. He says that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Now, not only are they great because they are, again, in the grace of God, in the favor of God, but they are great in numerality, in numbers, in large, in the count. And so he recognizes how God has blessed these people. Now look at what he says in verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. For what purpose? To judge thy people. Now, one of the things that Solomon as a leader recognized was that the people he had been given to oversee were not his people, but God's. Every leader messes up when he treats the people that God has given him to lead as if they were not God's people. And Solomon understood that because of the lessons of his father David, understood some of the mishaps and the misfalls of David, understood some of the things that David agonized over and suffered from. And he understood that in order for him to be in a right place with God, he had to do right with what God had given him charge with. And so he's calling out that I understand this is a great people, he says, which cannot be numbered. I know you've chosen these people. He says, therefore, give thy servant an understanding heart for the purpose of judging your people. Listen, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? He makes clear, God, I know what you've given me authority over. I understand the great responsibility. Yes, there are great rewards, but with the rewards come responsibilities. And I realize you've honored me by putting me in this position over so great a people. And listen to what Solomon is saying to him now. He says, and the speech, the word says, pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, can you see already the wisdom of David in Solomon, even before Solomon is granted the supernatural wisdom that he has just asked God for? He already had the natural wisdom. His father David implanted that in him, instilled that in him. It was now indwelt in him. He asked God for more of what he had. Now, let me tell you the difference between some of us. If we were in this position, that God would say to you, tell me what you want me to give you. Lord, I want a brand new Lexus. I want a big house. I want this. I want that. I want all of this. And God wouldn't have no problem with giving you that. Understand that. Be clear.